Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Circle Season 3, U.S. Netflix Season 3, whatever you want to call it, finale podcast here at Rob is a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here with a fantastic circle of co-hosts to talk through the finale of this season. It's a good season of the Circle here. With me today is Chantal. How are you doing, Chantal?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk about the Circle. I haven't talked to any of you guys about this season yet, so I'm happy to switch gears from Big Brother and Survivor and go into the Circle and kind of break down what happened with this episode. So I'm happy to be here and losing another headphone.
Also with us is Puya. How are you doing, Puya?
Phenomenal. I'm very happy with this season of The Circle. I feel like a lot of what I was missing in the second season, we got in the third season. We'll get into who won. I was very happy with the result. I'm sure we have lots to say here. It was one episode, one finale, but I have quite a few ideas, so we'll see.
Yes, and also with us is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. I love watching The Circle because it's one of the only reality shows where I get to be just like kind of a relaxed, casual, watch the show, enjoy it for what it is. I don't feel like I need to put that much thought into analyzing everything. That can be Taryn's job on this. I tried, because I know in the past, Taryn's like tried to calculate, you know, who potentially voted for who and stuff. And this time I was like, you know what? I'll just let Taryn tell me, because I tried for about 2 seconds and I gave up. So I did not do that. But it's fun. It's a really fun show. And so I'm really excited to talk about it. I agree with Puya. I think there was a lot that I was happy to see in this season compared to previous seasons. Whether or not I liked this one more or less, I haven't decided yet, but it's been different than season two. So that was nice to see.
Yes. Last season, I don't know if they ever released the final ratings for last season, but I did try to calculate out based on what the results were. This season, luckily, Mike Bloom, who was on our previous recap podcast last week, did interviews. And so we do have the official final ratings to help us out with that one. But yeah, it's a fun season of the show. I feel like it was a very successful season overall. I still don't know if I love the wait a week until the finale, air the finale as one episode thing. It certainly, I'm sure, helps with this whole spoiler situation. You're not trying to binge like 4 or 5 episodes at once in order to not be spoiled. That is very nice. But beyond that, just like waiting a week and then having one episode be the finale, it does kind of like the momentum has been killed a little bit, Chantal, I feel.
Yeah, no, definitely. It didn't help me not get spoiled, but, like I still got spoiled on Wednesday. I'm like, oh, well, I haven't watched it yet. I was about to. So I don't know if it really works with it, you know. You have to watch it right away to not get spoiled. But I kind of liked, if I'm not mistaken, how the UK does it, where it's like they have the show every day and then it's like the next day. I feel like it's still like in flow. And I kind of like how they kind of let release these episodes in that way, as opposed to like chunking them and then having that week wait. So I'd rather them just go every day for a couple of weeks and, you know, have the finale at the last day.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I just always have hashtag The Circle muted on Twitter. Like I never unmute it. I will tweet about, like I just tweeted out that we're going to talk about The Circle. I don't even see my own tweet. It's consistently muted, because even in the UK when it's every day, it's still like I can't keep up with that as easily. But certainly with how Netflix drops them four at once, it's definitely,
yeah, tough. Like for me, there's a couple shows that I've just accepted. I'm never going to be part of the live tweeting crew with them. The Challenge is one, The Circle is the other. They're always muted. I'm okay with that. I watch it on my own accord. And then if I want to discuss it, I know who to contact to reach out to talk about. But I feel like I got lucky in that I didn't talk about the week 3 batch of episodes on the podcast. So I didn't watch them till Monday. And then Monday and Tuesday, I watched like a couple of pieces. And then by Wednesday, I was it flowed well for me. But I feel like if you're sitting on it for a week, you might forget what leads you to where you are at the finale, which I do feel like I could see a little bit of potentially. But also it doesn't help that the final ratings typically are so different than everything everyone's doing for 12 episodes that it's almost like more difficult to piece together anyway. So it's always a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we all know that my Twitter, when I click on it, it just takes me to Boston Rob's homepage. So I don't get spoiled on anything that
He's
I
an
saw.
Avid Circle fan, though, right?
I don't know. I mean, I learn a lot about cooking and golfing and pickleball. Yeah, hurt his hand. I did see that. I saw exactly one tweet about the Circle throughout my time watching it because I did watch the entire show this week. So I somehow had not been spoiled on anything except for one tweet from Will from America saying, why do we hate Nick? and not happy about that, about the Nick hate. But other than that, that was the only thing I was like, oh, so there's a person named Nick. Okay, I'll have to figure out who that's going to be. I didn't get spoiled, but I was a little bit surprised by the outcome. I feel like the last couple seasons I had pretty much pegged who I thought was going to be the winner by the time the finale rolled around. And this time I was a little bit more surprised. So we can talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think I've watched a season of The Circle apart from the very first UK season, which I was not like, you know, I watched a little bit after the fact. So I wasn't there for like the live discussion, but every subsequent season of The Circle that I have watched, when I have looked at what people were saying about it after the season ended, every single time the discussion is had, they have to change how this ending works. Nobody is ever satisfied with the ending. I've never seen a single season of The Circle where people are like, that was good. Even when somebody they like wins, they're like, that was still weird and lame. There is something to that. And I think that for me, the thing that really stops it from being as good as it can be is that you do need to go to Mike Bloom's parade interviews to see to see what the final ratings were and an explanation for them. There we spent like a good, 10 to 15 minutes at least talking with, you know, the players and are you going to date? Are you going to double date? We could have spent that time after the reveal, in my opinion, talking to the players and being like, well, what did you rate and why? To explain how the person won. I feel like that's such a needed element to the show that we just don't get.
Yeah, I feel like I have to kind of take The Circle, at least in the way it's built now, differently than other shows where I have to accept like, it's not trying to be a strategic show in the same way that other ones do. And I know that since it came from the UK version, which is classically less strategic than a lot of American reality TV, or that's just like not that they're more personality based. And so I think if you watch The Circle and just like the experience of figuring out, like watching Catfish, see how they can play, do it. Cause you know, my argument's always like, it doesn't matter if someone's a catfish or not. And we actually did get some people saying that this season of, it doesn't matter if they're a catfish. It doesn't matter what their picture is. It only matters which relationship I have more with. But I think like inherently part of the reason people are kind of let down in the end is either they're like, okay, the people who played the hardest and were most strategic are going to then be rated lower. The people who are maybe influencers more often might even be rated lower because strategically you want to, you know, try to get them out of the running. And then there's like the weird element of in the end, most people tend to rate based on their heart, at least a certain percentage, or you're going to have some players who are rating on their heart versus their head. Like, I think this is multiple seasons where the final person who has come in, you know, in the Jackie spot in this one doesn't even have a chance and isn't going to make it to the end because they're like, well, is it better for me if they get to the end strategically? Yes, but I haven't known them that long and I kind of want the end to be the people who have been here for longer. So it's just not, I don't know if it's ever going to be with the way it's built now, like a show where you can kind of completely game it out to the end and feel like you have this like really, really satisfying winner, unless you're just like, I want the satisfying winner to be just a fun character. And that's, you know, what it is a lot of the time.
But is it now that we're...
Okay, go ahead, Chantal. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is it now that so everybody that goes on the circle can't really want to win? They just kind of have to be mediocre. They can't be too likable. They can't like try to figure out how they can get themselves to the end. They just have to stay in the middle, not be that great, and then get the win in the end, hopefully. Like, it's just like, for me, like, I'm crunching the numbers. I'm like, well, they have to put this in to do this if they're going to win. And like, that's what I find satisfying and fun for me. And so the fact that it's hard for them to be able to try to facilitate their win, I feel like the game is kind of broken in a sense that, like, as a strategy game, it doesn't really work very well.
Yeah, I definitely see that too. Like, I feel like, you know, there certainly is an argument that we should change how the final ratings work. But I really do think that it's any kind of segment to explain after the fact would help evolve the strategy, because like players like Nick come on the show, he feels like probably he's dominating the game, right? Like he is really effective in the game. We talked last week about he is perhaps one of the more effective players we've seen on the circle in terms of orchestrating the strategy, getting his alliance to the end. Probably doesn't really realize that that is not an effective strategy at winning the show, and ultimately ends up in last place of the finalists because of that, right? And so I think that if there was more of an explanation, it's like, why did that happen on the show, so that people that watch it and then subsequently play the game have a better understanding of how this final rating works, and like that you don't want to be up there all the time. We might see the game prior to the finals evolve in a different way, where people are like, no, don't put me first. And maybe they don't want that. Maybe that would break the game even further. But if that were the case, I think we should at least see if it breaks the game further. If it does, then you change the rules. Because I think there is more evolution to the strategy there's room for it still. Whether it's good or bad, that we can try before they need to change it if they're really reluctant to. But it is interesting, especially they've run it so many times, but in different formats and different countries. And so most people have only seen, you know, 2 to 3 seasons tops of, you know, their own version of the show. And so it probably doesn't seem quite as repetitive in that sense, to those viewers. But let's talk about our winner here. Because we haven't talked about it yet. We have crowned the winner of The Circle US Season 3, and it's James. And quite honestly, I feel they probably did the job here, because I don't really care how it happened as much as I do that I like James, and I'm happy that he won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially since like last week, I was like, oh my God, he lost it for himself and Kay. Cause I thought that he was going to get fourth place and Kay was going to get fifth. Like that's how I thought was going to end up, the rankings were going to be. So I really thought he'd blew it for both of them. And so when I heard that he won, I was like, how did we get here? And it seems to me from like any sort of numbers that I've looked at that, Ashley rated James higher than Isabel. And I think that that's where Ashley lost the game by voting James too high is what it looks like.
Yes. Yes. Ashley, if Ashley had done anything other than rate James number one, Ashley would have won. We can get into those, ratings here. But I do feel like it was nice, especially because there was a lot of heat, I guess, on James, which I hadn't known was there when we podcasted last time. And I was kind of coming to his defense last time, at least in terms of the first boot. And then when it came to the Jackie blocking, I thought that was a mistake, but it turns out, as we'll discuss, keeping Ashley was a good thing after all. He got so much heat, for those decisions last week. And then to kind of come out, vindicated in some way, I think is kind of nice.
I think it also helps that James was back-to-back influencer, although the second time people didn't know that it was him, but he was in a position of power. And while I think some people might say, why did you take out two people from your alliance? He had played the perfect amount of like having conversations with people from the other alliance that ended up being very valuable to where they probably underestimated him. It was sort of like everybody rated him high enough and he didn't really have anybody rating him low. Whereas if maybe Daniel and Jackie were in the game at this point, I think that's where you see more likely that someone maybe like Kay goes higher, because you have more people saying, okay, I want to vote the person who I feel like is, you know, whether it be the leader of my alliance or the threat of my alliance, I want to vote them high because I would rather them win. And instead it was people on both sides voting for James. So that really helped him. Obviously he couldn't have like predicted the Ashley situation, but they had a really good conversation and relationship as well, which is also why James didn't want to, you know, have Ashley leave and ended up making those decisions. So it worked out really well for James, but I don't know if that's necessarily something that's super replicable, even in another season where there are two firm alliances. I think a lot of people are going to look at this. And if, you know, if the internet and the fans were saying, oh, why did you vote out the people from your alliance? I think that that's something that maybe in the future, if you're in that scenario, you would stick more firm with your alliance just to not have that blowback.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you look at the final five and three of them are members of the band, right? So they're together. Then you have Kay and James. And for whatever reason, Kay was obviously top influencer like the first couple weeks in early, and then gets caught out of maybe you're a catfish and just has been free falling since. They've been trying to get Kay out. They can't get Kay out. So when you're in the minority alliance, but you're not the last place in the eyes of the other side, you tend to be in a very good spot simply because the big alliance is now going to be like, okay, we're going to be selfish. And I think this is what Taryn's talking about with regards to maybe learning more and having them discuss might evolve the strategy, because for 85% of the game, everyone's playing, you know, these are the people I like. I'm rating you based on how I feel about you, blah, blah, blah. That's working well. But then this last rating becomes the most selfish strategic thing that just because it's not been discussed doesn't fit anything else they've been doing. And then someone like a Nick who's controlled most of the season gets last place. Someone like Kay was always destined to be in those bottom slots. And then you have someone like Ashley who will essentially now gift the win to the opposition simply because they did a little too much when they didn't need to. If they voted, if Ashley went, I'm going to rate the way I've been feeling, Ashley's the winner this season. So it's absolutely wild because we can sit here for the next 3 hours and talk about strategy. And honestly, there's no strategy. It's like you have to be in the middle. You have to be in the minority alliance. You have to not be the main threat from the minority alliance. And then you have to hope that the other side gets a little too big for their boots. So it's weird. It's a weird combination of things that'll give you a win here.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, prisoner's dilemmas are very popular nowadays here in the reality sphere. But it really is when it comes down to something like this, where there are three people in one alliance and two in another, it becomes a prisoner's dilemma for the majority alliance, because if they all stay true to their alliance and they put each other one and two, then they guarantee that they have a one in three shot at winning the game, because the other side only has two people and they will automatically be out. You've gone from five to three. And that is essentially what alliances do, right? They say, hey, instead of a one in 10 shot, we're going to have a one in four shot. By having a four-person alliance, and they get down to four, and then they duke it out from there. But this really accelerates that betrayal process where they now have three and five, but it's their final chance at influencing the final outcome. So they can stay true to their alliance and go one and two for their alliance members, or if they are the one person to not do that from the three, then they can probably take the whole win if the other two members of the alliance vote for the alliance in the top spot. Then they can be, if they're clever enough, they can be the ones to flip-flop it a little bit, mix up the ratings a little bit, and now all of a sudden you are the winner. But if more than one person does that, then the people in the minority who have very little incentive to go against each other are almost automatically going to win. Because two of the majority, you know, chose the selfish option in the prisoner's dilemma. And so That is really, I mean, that's a really interesting, to me at least, dilemma for the players. And I again, I'm going to say, I wish that we explored it a little more about like, and I wish it was a little more public knowledge about like, okay, if you are in the majority, let's explain this dilemma and let's explain their thought process as they're trying to figure it out. Like, what do I think? What do I think that, you know, Big Nick Energy is going to do here? What's Daddy Nick going to do? Is he going to stay true to us, or is he going to try and take the win for himself? Is he fine with a 1-in-3 chance unless we betray, or, you know, like that, like, I don't know if everyone else is going to stay true. So I might as well go against it. But then if I go against it and everybody else does, then I'm definitely losing. That is really interesting to me. And I feel like that, I think, helps sell the outcome, the final outcome, a lot more. To be like, okay, why did James win? It's because Ashley went wild and put him in first place. It's because Isabella decided to betray the band and put James in second place, thinking she was being clever, right?
And Ashley put Nick in third, so didn't even give him one of the top two spots. So
yeah,
and it's something where I feel like. In this show, unlike all the other shows where there's some element of discussing with amongst, you know, the jury or the final people, how they're going to vote or whatever, since you're left by yourself, I can totally see why some people would say, and we saw James do it, okay, I've crunched the numbers, here's all my predictions, but I'm so lost and it's too hard to think, you know, 10 steps ahead of what each player might vote that I'm just going to, never mind. I'm just going to vote with my heart, because at some point you're kind of more determining. If you don't want to be super strategic about it, you're more determining who do you not want to win rather than who do you want to win. And so when it comes down to the point where you're like, you know what, I just really don't want Nick to win or whatever, that's where I'm going to send my votes instead of trying to be strategic where it might give me a higher chance, but also, you know, on the flip side, potentially give me a lower chance and allow Nick to win or something like that. So
I think they have to worry about like the number one, because like if it's a tie, it's whoever gets the most number one rankings is going to be taking that win. And so I would really be thinking about whoever I give the number one, be expecting that they could win the game. And so if she didn't, like, it surprises me that she didn't expect that James could win the game with her ranking him number one, because it just makes it that much more likely that he's going to snag out the win.
Yeah. So in terms of like talking through the strategy of this, because this is really important, and we'll get into the funny parts as well. But there was a similar situation that happened I'm going to say spoilers for season two of the UK version of The Circle. In that season, there was an alliance that made it to the end. There were three people in the alliance that made it to the final five, and two people outside of the alliance in the final five. And that alliance stayed true to one another. They each put 1-2 for the other people in the alliance. And randomly, one of them ended up winning. The leader of the alliance, the figurehead, ended up being not winning, right? Because that was, you know, not the good place to be. And then the two lesser, you know, prominent figures of the alliance were 1-2. And that's because they stayed true to each other. And basically, you know, that situation is what it's most likely going to be when you are in that spot, right? Especially when Nick is the most prominent person. When we were calculating out the potential results of this finale last week, we were looking at Ashley as the probable winner. And then when I saw them doing their ratings, I was like, Ashley is almost definitely the winner. I mean, it was, everything was lined up for Ashley to be the winner. And if Ashley had, you know, been loyal to the band, then it would have been Ashley as the winner. And so that is another factor in sort of like this end game strategy. If you are part of a three-person alliance here, if you are not the figurehead of that alliance, then it's probably not a 1-in-3 chance. It's probably a 1-in-2 chance. But if the figurehead of the alliance knows this, then they might be the one to backstab in order to have a better chance themselves. So it's, again, there's just so many levels of like back and forth that you can go when it comes to strategic thinking and rating. And I think it's really, really interesting when it comes down to two teams in the end, more so than just kind of like a free for all of, you know, random. I think this person's popular and this person's not. So I'm going to go do this and this and that and that. But, it's very interesting stuff, for me at least. So go ahead.
I like that during the season, they'll have different ratings where it's like, okay, for this rating, it's just the top person that's going to be the influencer, or we've gone completely based off ratings. The last person's out. I like when they do stuff like that because it'll make people have to maybe change up what they're doing. I wanted to introduce this idea. What if they don't tell them it's the final rating? What if they submit their rating and then they're like, okay, thank you. By the way, now it's your final rating. It's weird to think of it that way because I do think if they did that, then the band is going to reward their guy, Nick, with the win potentially. Like one of them would win. Whereas because they decided to take fate into their own hands, they actually accidentally handed it over to the alliance that was more loyal to themselves by giving each other first and second. So I'm just thinking of if they mess with the format maybe once or twice, it'll loosen some stuff up here and make this ending a little bit more, I don't want to say sensible, but like calculated. In a way that you can calculate, because you really can't right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the primary thing is just explained. It needs to be more explained. I feel like the primary thing I hear about from people is it just why did that happen? It doesn't make sense to me. So that is certainly, you know, a better it will be a better explained ending. I think I think it's going to be hard to trick people more than once.
Right.
Once you get down to five, it's like, oh, it's not the final. One more rating and then you'll have the final rating. Nope, we tricked you. It was still a final five. The next time they're not gonna be cool. So then you have to go like, okay, final six heading into final five. It's not a final six though. We're cutting off the bottom rated person and then we're heading into the final five with these ratings. Or, you know, it's like and then I think there could be something with that where now you're worried toward the end, like, do I rate for my own safety? Do I rate the person who I know is going to keep me in the game? Or do I need to worry about this being the final rating and think ahead? But that leaves me vulnerable to potential blocking. And I feel like ultimately you kind of just end up with the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that's kind of like the whole, oh, player in third place on Survivor typically, you know, deserve to win. So let's extend it to a 3-person finale. Okay, let's extend it to, it's right. Kind of the same thing, 5-4-5 making. And like Chantel was saying earlier, like it's already a game that in the end kind of rewards like middle gameplay, if that makes sense. Like we've seen sometimes the strong, you know, quote unquote, like big threat leader kind of person can do well and can come in first or second or whatever. But it's funny how like the two people who were outwardly seen as like playing the hardest, the leaders of their alliance, came in fifth and fourth. And that's kind of to be expected. So maybe you would find that they would win if they like didn't know that it was the final rating, but more likely it's just more people are going to be saying throughout the game, okay, I don't want to be, you know, rating the big threats high because maybe this time it could be the winner. So I don't know. I still feel like that's kind of how you get like it's just sort of a fight over like not wanting to be last, but not wanting to be first at any given time. Which is why I do like the surprise, like last place person gets voted out or whatever kind of thing. I wonder if it would almost be better to have more, anonymous influencers. I mean, I know that you can kind of deduce who maybe it was based on who went home, but I wonder if you'd see some people making some different moves and, you know, voting out members of their alliance or something like that if they knew it was going to be anonymous.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that if all influencers were anonymous, I think that solves the problem of being too prominent if you're popular and basically cutting your chances of winning the game entirely. It also allows for people to make bigger, bolder moves with their influencer status, that they're going to be more willing to like really like chop away at people that otherwise would be protected socially. And so I think that's a really interesting idea. And like maybe you don't show the ratings, know, like,
or maybe you show what your place was, but not what anybody else's was. So you kind of know where you stand, but you don't know where anyone else does.
Yeah. Something like that could work. And you know, popularity would be more a function of, you know, the social environment of the game, who seems popular. Oh, this person seems really popular. Why did you block that person? It wasn't me. you know, like, I feel like that adds a lot to the game during the game. And I do think it adds more incentive to playing hard, and being popular early, where that wouldn't completely come to bite you in the end, in such a dramatic way. And I think that's why James, as a, you know, 2-time-in-a-row influencer, was able to win this game, is because that second one was anonymous and people didn't see the thing that we saw, which is that he's clearly very popular. In fact, he was, I would assume, in first place in that final rating. I like that idea a lot. And I think that's something that that they could definitely incorporate, especially because it adds more to this whole catfishing burner account, like anonymous
detective stuff.
It got me really excited thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, everybody would just be forced to strategize. They'd be forced to be thinking about who could it be? What have they done to lead them to be the influencer? And whether they're right or they're wrong, we get to see like which path that they're going along and like what, how they're focusing their votes and stuff like that. So I think it would be amazingly fun. So hopefully they'll hear this podcast and they'll take this idea upon.
So let's run through these final ratings, because they are interesting. James had K in first place. Not surprising. We predicted that. James put Ashley in second place, which was along the lines of what I think we were thinking. James then put Isabella in third place and Nick in last place. Not super surprising here, I think, here from James. Ashley, he just had a stronger connection with. And then Nick was more of a strategic rating to put below Isabella, because he knew Nick was his fellow anonymous influencer, and a 3-time influencer in a row. So he wanted to make sure that Nick moved down. Ashley is the key here. We'll skip over Ashley for a second. Isabella puts Ashley first, which it was huge for Ashley. And again, something that we anticipated, thinking Isabella will probably stay loyal to the band, but probably put Ashley above Nick, thinking that Nick is going to be too popular. Because that was such an obvious move, it became the not good move. Nick got buried in the ratings and definitely did not need to be moved down at all. And then James in second, which obviously was the key to, again, a major key to James winning this. James in second, Nick in third. So Isabella was so scared that Nick might take the win here based on the previous performance that she decided to put Nick in third. I thought that she would put Nick in second out of the guilt of like, I'm playing him. I don't want to like really cost him the win here, but not the case. and then Kay in fourth here for Isabella. Then we had Kay put James in first, not surprising. Ashley in second. I thought maybe Kay would put James or put Nick second, thinking Kay is going to rate based on like how she feels, but she ends up putting Nick in last, Ashley in second, Isabella in third. So Nick really got tanked there. And then Nick put Isabella first, followed by Ashley. He's the only one to stay true to the band. And then James and then Kay last. So another very important connection that James made for Nick to put him third, instead of fourth. And I say all of those are important because the final scores end up with James and Ashley tied. So every single one of those placements where he was just one above where he might have otherwise been, very key. And now Ashley is the reason that James wins, because Ashley puts James in first place, Isabella in second place, Nick in third place, and Kay last. So all of the band vastly overestimated Kay and Nick in terms of where they would place, and overcorrected for their ratings, underestimated James's placement, and overcorrected in that direction. And then was not loyal enough to their own squad, and it cost the band the win. Ashley says in an explanation that when they're the final two, and Ashley says, Matthew says, "Hey, if it's not me, I wanted it to be you," that was the truth. And that's why he put James in first place. He genuinely wanted it to be him, and he doesn't regret the decision because he's happy that James had it. That connection, much more important than I think we were led to believe in the episodes, because we really only saw that one conversation. And maybe it only was that one conversation, but very, very key, because James and Ashley tie. And so how this works is that this happened recently again in a UK season. They break the tie by how many first place placements they got in the final ratings. So Ashley only had one from Isabella, and James had two from Kay and Ashley. And so so James ends up winning it there. Ashley in second place, Isabella close behind in third place. And then Kay and Nick completely tanked, nowhere near the podium. So some interesting stuff there in the final ratings. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that that turned out that way for Kay especially. And I think that she really, really suffered from having two Alliance members out back to back, because that would have changed the ratings a lot if it was fewer members of the band in the end there. But I wish that we had, you know, you mentioned like not hearing as much about Ashley except for that conversation with James. In general, more from Ashley would have been nice. And the end, and a lot of the like reunion talk, was about how people felt like Ashley changed the most. I mean, she was shy in the beginning. Nick, in the last like two or three episodes, is like, yeah, Ashley's been my number one since the beginning. I don't even know if we ever really saw that. Like, we just feel like we got almost nothing from Ashley the entire season, which was really sad.
I don't know if I felt that. I felt like we got a lot from Ash. I mean, maybe not as much from Ashley the character, but we got
that's
a lot
what
from
I mean. Matthew. I mean, yeah. we got a lot from Matthew, but I mean more like the specific interactions between. It seemed like Ashley was always the player that I had like the least understanding of, especially when you had Isabella and James come in, who I felt like their characters in the game got a lot more. Like conversation time. It seemed like we saw more conversations. I felt like the Ashley conversations just must not have been super, you know, they weren't about flirting as much or something. So we just didn't see that as often.
They were just super effective, not so super entertaining potentially. Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like they did show us a lot, you know, obviously with the, they like what they like. They like the catfishes. They like when a relationship is forming through a catfish. They gave us all of that, but then they didn't really give us anything with, well, they did give us some with Ashley, but I feel like Ashley definitely, you know, the conversations with James, they did highlight quite a few times, which now in retrospect, you do see that that connection meant a lot for this victory here at the end. I haven't gone to talk about James at all. From the minute James came into the circle, he was my favorite person. So for me, I'm very satisfied with this win, even though I can still look at it and be like, but you cut two people from your alliance in the last two. You didn't back your team. And how did you win? Don't make sense. I'll live with it. I'll be okay with this.
Yeah, I'm happy that he was the winner. I just wasn't expecting it. And hearing about it before I saw the episode, I was like, how can this happen? Like, this isn't, it's not possible for this to happen. And so when, you know, they started revealing like the bottom place, I'm like, Nick. And I'm like, well, if Nick is in the bottom place, like Ashley had to have won. Like, how is this possible? But I am happy that James did. I did really like him as a character. I enjoyed his gameplay. I thought those were two big blunders. And so I thought that I didn't think he was going to be rewarded for making those I thought were mistakes. But he did. And I'm happy that he was the winner, but it was really not by his own doing at all.
Yeah, this is probably the most surprised I've been at a winner in any Circle season that I've watched, because I was very convinced it was Ashley, like the whole time. Like, I was like, okay, Nick's probably first, then James or Kay. Okay, it's Kay. Okay, now it's James. Isabella. Okay. Now, I mean, it has to be Ashley. And then they're like, it was very close. Like, how is it close? What happened here? And then James won. I was really surprised. Because I was so convinced it was Ashley, especially, you know, like the whole episode felt, like the whole end of the episode felt like it was like Ashley's episode. I mean, it was all about like Ash, how well Ashley catfished and all of that stuff. So, I'm in a little bit of an echo here. I don't know.
Yeah. I just started hearing that.
Whoever's not hearing it, probably.
It was probably me then. Oh, no, I hear an echo. No, I don't.
I'm also hearing an echo for what?
Oh, no.
Who's not hearing the echo?
Game of Echo Clue.
All right. Well, okay. Well, let's. I don't know if Mary was muted long enough for us.
I muted for half a second there. Did that? I don't know if that helped.
I can't.
Yeah,
tell.
I don't know.
I can't tell.
It's not long enough. But sorry guys, there's a ghost in the system. What is it?
Vince, get out of here, Vince. We don't need this today.
Who's the burner account?
I don't know.
I'm just going to start muting people until we, oops, that's not what I meant to do. okay. Well, so James is the winner here. Oh, okay. I think it was Chantel. There you go. Yep. It was definitely Chantel. We figured it out, guys. It's okay. We managed to do it. Okay. So, let's talk through some of the episode here. Because we come back from Jackie being blocked and James is like, I tried. And they're all kind of like, they're all thinking, I think they have to all have assumed that, that Nick was at least one of the influencers, right? So with that being the case, I think that definitely leads to what happens there. But, we get the final ratings, all of the, you know, final circle chat. It's all fine. What did we think of the dinner? The dinner that's not actually a dinner, that there's no food that actually gets served.
First thought is it really that nice? Because I'm like, wow, it's amazing in here. And I'm like, really? Like, is it not register well on TV? Because it doesn't look that fabulous at all.
It looks bad, poorly lit. It doesn't look like there's enough lighting in there.
Yeah, maybe that's why it looks so good, is because they can barely see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I know we're all going to say the same thing. They need to stop telling us who's coming ahead of time. Yeah. I'll just say that and I won't expand on it because I feel like we're all on the same page there.
Yes.
Definitely. Had a lot of talk about that in the past. I was just doing some research, looking back at the past seasons, at least the US versions. This is the first season where the final five does not solely consist of people who were there from the start. Well, it depends if you count Lisa. But she was with Jack at that point as whatever fake John, I don't remember, last season. So Lisa came a little later. But other than that, we had two people in this final who were newer additions. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one about the whole like final dinner thing. I like it because part of my enjoyment in this show is watching all the apartments and be like, ooh, I would want that apartment and look how it's decorated. And that's fun. And so anytime they get to like, just go to a new room and talk, like I'd be there being like, oh, look how classy and look how fancy this is. So I like that part, but.
I like food. Why is there no food? I feel like all this cutlery and nice looking plates, but no food to show for it. It makes me sad. It's like we're sitting at a dinner table, but we're not eating. I don't know. I just need
food. Do you think they get food? Do we know about this? Or do you think they immediately actually just like leave and go to the penthouse?
I don't. They probably like throw them some pizza or something. Like, all right, sit in the green room. Here's a couple slices.
Here's a cold cheese pizza for you. Just deal with it. Yeah. Deal with it. That's all you're getting.
And I also would like them to interact a little bit more. Like this, like that's the most interesting part is people saying like, oh, he was Vince and like having like the reaction of that. Like, I wish that that was a longer segment. I don't really need to see them with like cucumbers on their eyes and like in a row. Like, I don't need to see that part that much for that long. Like, I'd much rather see them interacting once they are revealing who they really are and see that segment for a lot longer.
You know, it's interesting. Like we're very used to hearing all of their inner thoughts throughout their entire like circle stay, and then they get to the meeting and we never hear them talk to us again. And so it's like, what does Nick think about Isabella? Like what does Isabella think about? Like I'm missing. Like the confessionals, almost. Like I almost wish that we could get maybe some of those in, like record them afterward and like just get a sense of like, what was like. I know that we hear from them after, but we're hearing from them after, like in a big group setting where it's all celebratory. Like, how did you feel when you saw Isabella? Like, oh, it was fine.
Yeah. Especially because I at least felt this way. So obviously Nick is the first one that enters the scene. Isabella's the next person to enter. Nick, this whole time leading up, was like, yeah, I'm going to get that date. Ooh, Circle, you put me next to Isabella. You know what I want. And then Isabella, Sophie comes in and he's like, how fun it's been with us too. We've been joking around a lot, haven't we? Like fully pretending that he's not been into her. And I'm like, stop the cap, Nick. I know what you've been wanting. You're not getting it, but give me the confessional. I do think a confessional would be great, but he was livid at not seeing Isabella there.
It was really awkward. Like I feel like we've seen people get upset. We've seen people like I mean, you know, again in the UK version recently, like really like, oh crap. But for me at least, my read on Nick was just like, oh, this is weird. This is awkward. I don't know what to do. What do I say? Especially like, because also like, I felt like Isabella, aka Sophia, was also very awkward. Like Isabella came in with like blasting energy. I'm Isabella's sister. And he was like, oh, hey, I'm Nick energy. And it's like, I feel like, you know, like Nick's whole thing is that he's like kind of like a nerdy bro. And I feel like we mostly saw the bro-y side of Nick when he was by himself. And then when he was interacting with other people, it felt a little more like we saw his nerdy side of like, just a little bit of like, what do I say here? And he was very quiet in like the group discussions. Like I was like, this is a whole other side of Nick that we never saw.
I think something I noticed this season that I haven't noticed in the past was all of the in-person reactions and conversations were so cringy and like hit way too close to home, because I've been there. I've had conversations where it's like you have like a mostly online relationship with someone, like texting conversations. And then when you try to talk in person, it's a little bit weird or, you know, whatever. I mean, like we've gone to, you know, podcasts or meetups and you're meeting everyone in person for the same, for the first time. And it takes a little while to like,
oh yeah,
talk to them normally, like you know, think you'd be able to, but especially, and I don't know if some of this has to do with like just where the cameras are, how they film it, but anytime someone had to go meet someone in person to block, or like after they've been blocked and they could meet someone, I couldn't help but notice that there was almost no eye contact between people. They would like look forward or look at the TV screen instead of looking at each other. And I was like, oh, this feels familiar. I feel like I've been there. This is hard to watch. And I don't know if there's some kind of way they can restructure the meeting up for fake dinner part at the end, but like something about the, or just edit it so we don't have to see this. We don't need to watch like Sophia give the exact same speech four times every time someone comes in the room. It's like, I don't know if they need to do it once somehow and be the, like, leave the catfish people for the last so that they can do it together, or just edit it so that we can skip past that part and hear other things.
I was fine with that. Like, I want to see like each person's experience, you know, get it, like, you see, because like, like for me, like even though it was definitely awkward, I'm her sister. Like I did want to see each person's reaction to that.
I like the reaction, but it's not the I don't know. I felt like we spent a lot more time, less time on the actual individual reaction and more time on the explanation of who she was, like four times.
Well, I think her more than others too was really like, because I think she. You know, we've seen this with the catfish folk where they don't realize how guilty they're going to feel until mm-hmm. they're at this dinner. And like you've spent however much time talking to these people, convincing them you are this person and they're expecting to see that person. You're not. You feel bad. I feel like Sophie, especially Mary, is a little bit like us. Like I'm the same as you. If I meet someone for the first time, even if I've been talking to them every day, I have the weird like barrier of awkwardness that I can't get past initially. So it's that. And then it's I feel so bad because the first person I saw was Nick and he clearly had a romantic interest in me, but I'm not me. I'm this other person. And now I've shut him down and he's trying to keep it together. So she went on an apology tour, it felt like from the beginning. And then when there's the non-catfish people, the minute after you see a catfish, the minute you see the next non-catfish, you're so happy and you're so energetic that it feels like a slap in the face to the person that was a catfish. So now you're feeling more guilty. Like, I do not envy the place Isabella is. And honestly, just this dinner is enough reason. I've always said I would go in and be myself, but with Liana's profile. I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I could sit there with people being like, that guy, yeah, that's Liana. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. You're Jeff. I like you, Jeff. Screw this Liana guy. Like, I can't do that. I can't sit at that dinner. I'm out. So I got to beam you now.
I kind of like that it's all punishment for being a catfish. Because, like, I personally would just go in as myself. And, like, then I could just be truly me and play the game as with, you know, my integrity or whatever. Because these catfishes, they go in and they're duping these people. Like, you know, they are lying to them essentially this entire game. And so I like seeing how awkward and uncomfortable that they feel that they've been duping these people for the whole season. It's kind of like, I don't mind watching a lot of it because that's the payoff, I think, for watching them be a catch this whole time is to see what is their reaction and how are they going to deal with telling these people that they've been lying to them for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's this instant social hierarchy with this final meeting where the real people are the popular ones in this spot, and like they are the ones that are, oh my god, it's so good to actually see you. And who are you? Oh, it's you. Oh, you're that person. Wow. It's a lack of connection, and it's really interesting until Matthew gets there, and Matthew, I feel like, is the most. Easily the most personable and like confident person of this meeting, if not any meetings. Like Matthew comes in here, is like, "Hey, it's me. That's right. I was Ashley." And like the only little bit of like insecurity that he has is like just making sure, like, just so you guys know, I am gay as sin, so it's okay. It's okay. I wasn't pretending about that stuff. Don't be mad at me for that. But otherwise, let's have a party. And he like led the discussion. And again, it's like, it almost felt like a winner at it. It's like so focused on him and how well he sort of handled that situation. They were all like so convinced that Ashley was real. He explained what something that we have talked about when talking about the circle before, which is that, you know, the when people come on to catfish, they are very one layered. It's very shallow. It's like they've got their one thing and that's their only thing, and they don't know how to go too deep beyond that. And so he made a point of not only being himself with another picture, but also like intentionally revealing layers of himself as time went on, what I imagine to be a more theatrical way than just naturally being yourself, which may or may not convince people that you have layers, but to actively convince people, here are the layers that I am peeling back. So I thought that was all really interesting. And I wish that we had seen more of that throughout the season of just like more examples of him talking through his strategy for convincing people that he was real. I feel like that's something that they've kind of shied away from in recent Circle seasons. In the past, you know, when there's a catfish, it's all about like, how do I convince them that I'm real? How do I, like, what can I say here? And now it's more like, hopefully they don't catch me. And you know, hopefully it's all fine. And with Matthew, I felt like it was just, maybe he just never talked about it, but it just felt like, yep, he's Ashley. And otherwise it made no impact. So that was kind of strange as well. But I really did, I would love to hear more from Matthew about like his strategy and what like things he was doing specifically to convince people that Ashley was real.
I think a huge part of it's also, I mean, we've seen people who get to the end who catfished, who had like a romantic relationship with someone in the show. It works out. It's more awkward at the end here. And since everyone was like, oh, Ashley's like our close friend or whatever. And then it turns out like, oh, it's just Matthew now who's our close friend. That's fine. You know, I mean, Matthew said like pretty much everything about his personality was just sort of being there with Ashley's picture, which came across more realistic than some other people who've done it in the past. Probably because he was playing a friend who he already has like a close relationship with. Whereas Sophia playing Isabella, there were some pretty massive changes to the way that she was talking to other people that she probably wouldn't have done if she was playing herself. And I'm trying to remember what people's reaction, Tara, maybe you remember, to Lee as River was last season, because that's another scenario where there wasn't really like a romantic connection. Although I think there's something inherently about like maybe because it's like the very classic original like catfish idea of like finding out that someone you thought was younger is a lot older than they were comes across as like a whoa kind of thing for whatever reason.
I feel like they were fine with Lee for the most part. Like it's pretty typical. I don't think there was like a major obviously Delisa herself, but you know, season two of The Circle, I felt like the meeting was kind of like meh. Whereas like season one was a little better, especially you know, there was some hurt feelings about the catfishing. But I feel like the UK has always been better with their final meetings. This one was interesting. I feel like for the most part, it was fairly tame. But we did get some good moments. I mean, we got Nick being uncomfortable. We got Ashley coming in and, you know, stuff like that. They all seemed like very friendly with each other, which was nice. I think that for me, one of the things I've enjoyed about this season, one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite seasons, I think, of The Circle that I have seen is that, especially I think it's my favorite Circle US season that I've seen.
Easily.
And I don't think it's close. And I think one of the primary reasons for that is the lack of flirting. Obviously we had, Isabella and Nick, but that was, I mean, we barely got, you know, I don't know if they flirted more and we didn't see it or if it was just a very, very light thing. And obviously we had Calvin and Kay, but that seemed like a somewhat genuine connection that again, wasn't very long lived. We didn't spend too much time on it. I feel like In the previous two Circle US seasons, like the entire method of communication was flirting. Every single person would flirt and they'd be like over the top with it and just go straight in and like it got weird. And it's like everybody's flirting all the time. In this one, we had like two circle relationships and they were both pretty light on it. It wasn't everybody flirting. It was more strategic. And there were some friendships as well. We didn't have to deal with this like, oh, what do I, oh man, just wait until we meet each other in person, winky face. Oh, you went there. Oh no, I'm in the tub right now. Oh, what? Are you adventurous in bed? I'm going to go on a safari. Whoa. it's boring to me. I'm so happy that we didn't get that this season.
Yeah, because like that's the thing, right? It's like it's not even the good flirting, and like far be it from me to be like the judge of flirting, but they're clearly not going to give us like the juicy bits. So it's like the tame bits, but the tame bits are not too clever bits. So I'm okay with not really getting that if we can help it too. And I think the difference here as well was clearly Nick was like meant to be the main like I'm looking for love guy, but he still had so many more like angles to himself that he didn't become just the flirtatious guy, right? He was the band, he had the bros, he's trying to, he has this like weird arch enemy, like nemesis chapter with Kay. Like he had a lot of different facets to him that I barely thought about the flirting bits with him. So I did appreciate that as well, that maybe because of the people flirting, like one of them being Nick, Nick had so many more things going on that it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was worried about Nick in the beginning, though. I was like, oh, God, is Nick going to be this guy? It's going to be so boring just hearing him flirt with all the women all the time. But then I was very surprised that he completely flipped that and he turned into be way more strategic than I was ever going to be giving him any props for. So I'm very thankful that he still had his flirty elements, whatever. We got to, our payoff there was his face when Sophia walked in. But he was also really strategic for the most of the game. So it was a good balance for me.
I don't know if this was just me. I feel like everyone's going to now say it was just me and I missed it. I feel like this season was slightly less shoving it down my throat of the ridiculous hashtags. Maybe I've just gotten used to them, but I feel like in the past seasons, it was like you, every single chat had these hashtag, she's not a real friend or like whatever. And in this time it seemed like slightly less, maybe they just showed us slightly less or I'm just so used to them that I just like, can't even pick up on it anymore.
No, I think you're onto something. I think that, definitely, at least for the US version, like, last season was really ridiculous with the hashtags. I'm trying to remember it was Delisa that came up with it, right? Just us guy things or like, I don't remember. Yeah.
It was worse. They got better. The hashtags were somewhat better. Although if I don't hear the phrase real, recognize real for like another 3 years, I'll be okay. I got a lot of real, recognize real this year. I think they were just better ones. There was still a decent amount. But I think they were better than last year. Really felt like they were just trying to fit square, like pegs into circle holes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag I'm a fun guy. Yeah.
That's what it was. I'm a fun guy. I was trying to look up and see if there was like a list.
There were a couple weird ones that I noticed, but like overall, I feel like, yeah, definitely a little bit lighter on all that.
There was the hashtag JFTF. I can't remember what that stood for, but it was like something that Lee made
just
up.
Just for the fun or something?
Just for the fun, yeah.
Oh, just boy. For the fun. It was hashtag plus I'm a fun guy.
Plus I'm a fun guy.
And we also got a hashtag data daddy last season, which I guess is maybe better than hashtag daddy Nick or hashtag Nick energy. Hashtag me and you, the letter U till the end. So yeah, we had some bad ones. Well, okay, talking about flirting, I feel like we have to talk about Nick and Jackson.
Oh my God. They really said, hey, Nick, there's someone else that you could be with. And they just, that became like the focal point of the reunion, pretty much. It really did.
I mean,
did she say that she's in love with him? Like, did I?
Yeah.
A little bit. She was like, I saw his photo and I was like, I love this guy. I was like, she was thirsty.
Oh, yeah.
Both Rachel and Calvin
were like, was also pretty thirsty.
Way more like, I don't know if it was like a 15 minutes of fame thing of like, oh, I gotta just like ask them on a date while I've got them here or whatever. I gotta make it part of the show, because both Nick and Kay seem to be a little bit more like, hey, can we talk about like the game that I played to make me a finalist? No, my only questions are gonna be about, will I date this blocked person? Okay. Okay.
Well, especially
that's kind of how it felt.
He was like, I don't even know who this person is. Like, yeah. I knew them as Jackson. And so I don't, like, then now they're coming at me with like, I love you, Nick. Like, who are you? Huh. It was weird. And then of course, Michelle is all about like, so are you going to go on a date? Like,
Can I find out if I won first, please? Like, I would like to know the results first before I answer that question. Like, just let, I feel like it's so difficult to answer these questions in front of everybody, but then also with this, like, feeling in your gut of you don't know what the rankings are and you're minutes away from finding out, it's a lot on the brain. But of course the show, and like, that's the thing too with, like, you know, with Big Brother, with other reality TV shows, I'm like, okay, they were in a house together, they cuddled up, they, you know, they've had face-to-face conversation, they've stared into each other's eyes, you know, they've felt those butterflies. You're in two different rooms with screens up, like, and in this instance, you were catfishing as a bro. Like, there's no world where you can legitimately think that they are going to say that they're feeling for each other in that moment. Like, I just don't see it. I think that Nick definitely was like, wow, Jackson's hot. But, like, that was really it. We didn't see much else from them.
I mean, could you imagine, like a time in your life, somebody has come up to you and maybe you don't know them very well. And they're like, hey, I would love to go out on a date with you. And then you're like, okay, whoa, this is awkward. I don't really know what to say to this. And then Michelle shows up with a microphone. So what do you think about this? And she calls in a camera crew. Oh, so hey, everyone, get over here. Hey, what are you thinking? What do you think, you want to accept this date or are you going to reject them? What's going on here? Like, so awkward.
And poor Nick actually, like, he got catfished by this girl. So Rachel catfished as a guy to, like, it could seem or feel like it was to get close to Nick. And so she has all these, like, hard eyes for Nick. And he's like, I don't know who this person is, but she has a crush on me. But I never met her. She was catfishing as a bro. And so he must feel kind of uncomfortable and duped in a real catfish sort of way. They're definitely not going to be on the same page.
And then also Rachel is like, well, I don't want to step on any toes if there's like a thing going on here with Isabella. And then Sophia's like, oh no, I'm gay, I don't even want him, please take him, you have my full blessing. And it's like Nick, who just got catfished by Isabella, is now handing him off to Rachel after getting permission.
So awkward. She was like, no, not me. I'm good. Like, honestly, you could tell if they become a couple, she feels completely like her hands are clean from what she's done. She was so guilty still. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I want to commend Nick on not completely exploding right then and there on the stage with how awkward things could have been. Obviously, he's not going to say no, though. You know, you're not going to stand there at the room like, to Jackson's face, nah, not really, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen. So he handled it good. And I think, look, if we're being honest with ourselves, Nick, of all people, doesn't mind this attention. I feel like Nick's okay with this attention. And I don't know. I haven't followed any of them since the show. I have to imagine they went on a date, maybe.
I'd be surprised if they didn't go on a date at least once.
Yeah. Or the double date that was proposed, which was very weird.
Well, so do we think that Calvin and Kay went on a date?
Yeah, so when they first met in her apartment, I felt like they were not really vibing. It felt a little bit off. It might have just been they had just met each other. At the reunion, I definitely felt something there. So I think they did. I'm going to say yes, they went on a date.
I don't. It felt like she was, and rightfully so, whether or not she's interested, it felt like she was a little bit more. I mean, he was very like, yeah, and she was like, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if they went on a date, but I also wouldn't be that surprised if they didn't end up going.
Yeah, that one to me felt a lot more like her trying to be like, oh, don't put me on the spot on TV because I may not give the answer that you want, or at the very least I need to like go talk to this person and meet them a little bit before I say that publicly. It felt really, that one felt a little more awkward to me.
Yeah,
I looked it up. I can give you the answer. Ooh. They've not even met up since, and she said no, we're not dating.
Well, there you go. Wait, what about the Nick and Rachel? Did you look that one up?
I didn't. Someone in the chat mentioned that apparently Nick's been very friendly on Rachel's Instagram. So that one seems more likely, potentially.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So we're getting the dirt here. Figuring it out.
A bit. Okay, so apparently they met up in real life. Nick and Rachel did.
Okay.
According to this article. Yeah.
So they went on a date.
they had the date.
Can we also talk about and you know, this is not meant to really, you know, be cruel in any way, but I really loved this moment of them bringing in all of the Block players, and Jackie comes in. Oh, yeah. Who are you? Who is this?
Yeah. I think on that one, I wrote down Jackie comes in and nobody but Daniel even knows who Jackie is. And I think it was Roxana who was like, oh, I didn't know they were still adding people. Oh, that's gotta feel rough. I think that would be like, you go through all the trouble to get on the circle, and if you're that last player added to the game, I would just feel so hurt. I think my stomach would drop if I ever got added to the circle and was like, I haven't even been here. I don't know what's going on. Because you know exactly what your role is going to be on the show.
Well, I see. I was going to say that, like it must be devastating because you're like, this is going to be the end all be all of my reality TV career. Is I was on the circle for 2 episodes, and now I'm never going to be on any. I'm not going to be on the circle again. I'm not going to be in any show ever again because now I've been on the circle. Except Ed went on the challenge.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say. I know this is going exception. To Ed. Yeah. Yeah. I think Jackie, Jackie could go on the challenge. I don't know. We don't know.
Adrienne in the chat says, Roxana said on Daniel's Live that she thought Jackie was the bartender. Oh.
Roxana's like, thank God someone's here. I've been waiting for a martini for a second. Get back here. Get back here right now.
Oh no.
I love Roxana.
She's so great.
Yeah, I was really sad when both Roxana and Daniel left the game because I really, really liked both of them. And they were very entertaining. But I feel like, yeah, I would rather be in the Roxana or Daniel spot of not making it as far, but at least having been there for longer. I mean, I'm sure everybody would probably rather that. But yeah, I don't know. Watching this show, I for the first like 2 seasons, I was like, oh, the circle, I could do that, whatever. And I'm watching this, I'm like, I don't know that I could just be that animated to no one. Like, at least on all the other shows, you have someone to talk to. But I don't know if I could be that animated just constantly. I feel like they must just be sitting there being like, okay, what's a wacky thing that I can do that they can turn into a segment? Oh, maybe if I balance this apple on my head. I don't know.
I feel like they get prompted, though. Like, I guess like there's like a producer being like, can you do something a little... Say that again with a little more, you know, zealousness? Yeah, I don't think that they're thinking of all these wacky things to do on their own. I think they're getting prompts.
There was one throwaway shot of Sophia, aka Isabella, sitting on the floor having a tea party with, I think maybe like a teddy bear. I'm not sure, but there was just like a tea party going on, and there was zero comment on it. Zero explanation. It was like a 2 second shot of her. That was one of my favorite moments of the whole season.
If I was to do it, I think at this point I would Tim it and have my cat be with me, or a cat with me. I feel like that's the move.
Oh, yeah.
Some kind of companion in the form of a cat would be phenomenal. I feel like that's the move for sure.
Well, I feel like that, like, I'd be considerably less entertaining with my cat in there because I'd just be spending all my time with Kellis and not otherwise being entertaining. Like, I wouldn't have to entertain myself because he'd be entertaining me.
Right. You're like, what are you looking at me for, camera? Pan to him. Pan to him.
Yeah. Like, did you see how cute he is right now? Come on. All right. Well, that's it. That's it for, season 3 of The Circle. I do think that, I think I've seen that they did do a fan favorite vote. I didn't even know they were doing this, but, I believe that the fan favorite vote went to Kay, and that Kay won $10,000.
Awesome.
So there you go. I didn't know I didn't see them announce it anywhere. I don't know if I was just not paying attention potentially. Are we getting a David Spade reunion thing for this one too?
I was wondering that. Especially because like on Netflix, the Circle like box is not after like, going away. Well, usually like you finish a show and they don't keep showing you the show because
it gets removed from your continues. Yeah,
but it's still there. So I was like, I wonder if they are going to add more things. But when I click on it, there's nothing else. So
I also heard, I don't know if it's a real thing or not, or if it's just allegedly, but that the Circle UK has been canceled and that Netflix has purchased the rights for it. And so now it's going to be potentially being filmed in the US.
So what I understood, and I've not like looked deep into it since I heard it, like when it first happened, was that the Circle, like the Netflix Circle will now move in the direction similar to what they're doing with like a Too Hot to Handle, where they're going to make it more open, where the UK like public can also apply for it, and it'll be more of an international circle. It's no longer going to be mostly, because I think outside of Chloe, it's been all Americans. And I think they're going to move away from that, and it's going to be more like Too Hot to Handle, where like someone's Irish. There's like a French person. There's a British person. So it's going to be more open for applications and stuff. So I think, and I assume they're going to keep this whole apartment building was built for the Circle. They're not going to just abandon it, right? It'd be a great Airbnb experience, though. I'd go.
Yeah. I'm seeing in the chat, somebody said that that Chris from season one is hosting a reunion. And I'm seeing a YouTube video of Circle season 3 reunion, Extra Circle episode 3, 13 minutes long with Chris, here.
I forgot that Chris did a cast assessment at the start of the season that I didn't watch because I wanted to go in blind. I forgot about that.
And yeah. He's talking to James. He's talking to, Matthew, and here's Kay and Daniel and Jackie.
Oh, it was two hours ago.
He's just talking to a TV screen with them on it.
Oh, so. And it sounds like, is James in the chat right now? If so, congratulations, James, on the great win.
Very oh, no way. Look Yay. At my guy. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Woo-woo. Yes. congrats on the win. Do you have any questions for James? Can we ask him a question?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Pressure.
I feel like we learned a lot from Mike did such a good job with his interviews that I'm like, I feel pretty solid on his ratings.
I want to know if they ate anything in that room.
Did you eat? Did you eat at the reunion dinner? Can you tell us when y'all met? Did you eat?
Did they give you any food? I have a question for the three of you, though, is now that we've had three seasons of US Circle, is there anything not game related that you would want to change, like either something you'd want to see or not see? For example, like, do we need the dance parties, and do we need as much of the dance parties?
Oh, well, we did talk about that, and Sasha certainly thinks we need them.
Yeah, she does.
I know that Sasha said she would like them if she was there dancing, but I don't know if as a TV show, do we need, like, they could still do it. I'm just not sure we need to see it.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. It's character building. Yeah,
let them have fun with it. I feel like I'm cool with that. I like the games they have in the middle. That's good. Honestly, and this might be just me being picky, I feel like they don't need to add the last person, and they can just, you know, let these remaining people whittle down each other. Maybe go down to final four instead of final five. That doesn't need to happen. James said not a damn thing. They didn't feed James anything in that room. There was no food. I knew those plates were for show. Oh, that's so disappointing.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Boy. I think it's interesting about the, like, that last person, because I do feel like either we've talked a lot about, like, if you want a certain number of people in the game, front load it, add them earlier in the game, or at the end, instead of adding that last player, do a round of, even if it's not blocking, like, I think it'd be interesting if there was, like, a really, game related, you know, task or game that they had to do that revealed a lot and wasn't just like a yearbook rating kind of thing, but something more like these kind of intense questions or whatever, that style game. I prefer that to like just having that person that, you know, even if they make it to the end, they're probably not going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's, and the thing about the circle too, is that like, it's such a loose format to begin with that like, there are so many different experimentational sort of like things that they could do and, you know, avenues that they can explore. So, it's a thing that they could try for sure.
I kind of love more dress up stuff though. Like, I'm a person that loves Halloween, loves dressing up, loves wearing costumes. So I do like the excitement of like, what are they going to get in the box at the door? And what kind of outfits have these producers created for them that they have to wear? So I'm into more costumes. If you might not be though, Mary.
I like the costumes. I think it's more so like have one dance party. Like, I feel like we had like three, but at least we didn't have any dates this season. Oh,
I forgot about that.
how that can happens. You forget? How you forget about Rebecca going on all the dates? Oh my gosh, that was the most dreamy thing that I've ever had. The stars aligned.
James in the chat says, "I love how the end ratings work."
Oh, I bet you do.
Absolutely. I said it. I'm glad you won. You were my favorite. So. Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
I was really, really satisfied with like the proof that somebody who does come in later can do well. I liked seeing that. I know that that's happened in other in non-US seasons, but I was glad to see the proof of that, which I think is part of the just this season in general felt more strategic than some of the other ones did.
I did like when James calls his girlfriend to be like, "I won." She was like, "I don't, you're lying to me." He's like, no, look in the back. Like they'll say hi. And then everyone's like losing their mind. Like, see, I won. Believe me now. It was great. That was a great moment. I did forget that they do that at the end of the seasons where they'll have the winner get one call out. So it was fun.
Yeah, I like that. I like that personally. Any amount of those moments, you know, we don't usually get, we certainly don't get that sort of thing on Big Brother. But even like, you know, Survivor, you'll see them like run and hug their family, but you don't get like the conversation usually. Even if it is awkward, because sometimes it is, especially like, when it's like, you know, this is on an iPad, like, but it is cool, to get to see like that moment, especially because he was like, talking about her throughout the show.
I think it's funny though, when, he held up the iPad and was like, "Yeah, like look at all the people behind me." And she's like, "I don't know who any of these people are. Like, I haven't watched the show. I don't know the cast." I love that.
All right. Well, anything else that we wanted to talk about here from The Circle season 3?
No, I mean, honestly, it felt like Netflix did it in very quick succession. Season 2 comes out immediately in like 5 months. Season 3 came out. I was like, I think you're doing too much, Netflix. Maybe space these out. I'm so happy they did one back to back because I ended up enjoying season 3 so much. Like you mentioned, Taryn, it's my favorite of the US seasons. So if it gave me a reminder that I do love this show a lot. And when it's good, it's very good. So I had a good time with it. It was very fun.
James in the chat, "I can't do BB. I talk too much crap."
It'd be fun though, James. On the live feeds, it'd be fun.
I'd love to see that.
Make the first Circle to Big Brother transition.
Yeah.
It can happen.
But do it before Ed does it. I feel like Ed's going to find a way to get there.
Ed's working on the clean sweep.
Yeah, remember when it was...
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
Remember when it was Big Brother, Amazing Race, Survivor? Now it's like Big Brother Challenge, Circle.
Yeah.
Isn't Chloe also working on like her third reality show?
Well, Chloe was in the the teaser trailer for the next season of Love is Blind.
Yeah, I saw that.
I've been told it's a joke. Like, she's not actually going to be on.
Yeah, so I guess that makes sense.
The first gauntlet. Yeah, the first Netflix gauntlet.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose if everybody knows who she is coming in.
Dude, Ed's gonna, in like 2 months, Ed's gonna be boxing Polly Calafiore. Like, what is this world we're living in? It's a simulation. It makes no sense.
Anything else? Chantel, any final thoughts on the season?
I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it. Kind of like you, Puya. I was like, okay, they just had one. Like, I don't know if they have the formula down quite well yet. Like, maybe just hold off and do a little more research. But they came back really strong. I thought the cast was awesome. I really enjoyed getting to know all these characters. I love seeing them interact. So I thought that they did a really good job. I enjoyed it. There was no part of me that was like, oh, do I have to watch this? Like, no, I really enjoyed watching it. It was a nice little oasis from, you know, the really intense Big Brother that was going on. Like, I felt like I enjoyed the Circle. So whenever it comes back again, I'll be happy to give it a shot and not be like, no, I don't think it's going to be good, because they did a good job. Season 3 was awesome. Definitely a top.
All right. Mary, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I love that it's a show that is short enough and coming out quickly enough to do experimentation. I'm excited to see more of that in the future. I like some of the things that they added this season, and hopefully we see some of them in the future, maybe some new stuff too. Play around with it. They don't need to lock themselves in. So I'm enjoying that element of it.
Yeah. James says, thank you for all the love. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you, James, for showing up in the chat and piping in a little bit here.
It's a great surprise.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out. And thank you guys for hanging out with us here throughout season 3 of The Circle. And we'll see what the future of The Circle is. Now, again, something that I don't know if like everyone is aware of is that I believe this season and the previous season were shot basically back to back, which is why they were able to release them essentially back to back. But they shot a lot of seasons back to back, including like the most recent UK ones, and all of that. So, that to me means that, like the next season of The Circle that we get, you know, now that it has been canceled in the UK and there are a bunch of different like new directions that the show can go in. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting to me because, the fact that with this same formula, we still were able to get, such a fun season, here. I feel like, things are looking up here for The Circle and I'm excited to see where we go to next. But, in the meantime, you can find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out over there, talking all sorts of reality shows, TV shows, books, and whatever else, as well as playing some games. We're going to be playing some Among Us over the weekend, I'm sure. So find me there or on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. I'm also going to be talking about Survivor this season. I watch Survivor live on Twitch if you want to watch with me. And then I talk about the show afterwards on Thursdays to talk through the episode. I talked with Kevin Martin about episode 2 of Survivor, which was a lot of fun. Make sure you check that out over on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube or on the Survivor feed, which you can find if you go to robisawebsite.com/subscribe. You can find all the different Rob Has a Podcast feeds if you want to subscribe to those. Chantel, where can people find you?
Well, if you want to find my socials on Instagram @ShanFranFran, and then I have a YouTube channel, Reality Realness, with 3 S's. I go live all the time. I'm going to have such a break. I didn't even know, like, it's so much free time. I'm only going to be talking about the challenge Bachelor in Paradise. Is that it? It might be it. But lots of stuff going on over at Reality Realness. So come subscribe and hang out with me.
All right. Puya, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I will be live tonight, 11 p.m., hanging out at the pad. And then 90 Day Fiance. I just had a podcast episode with Mari. I will have one next week with Sasha. It's been a great season. Definitely come check us out there. And Masked Singer, episode 3. We recorded yesterday. Should drop sometime today, hopefully. We had a fun time discovering who the latest unmasked celebrity was. So definitely check that out as well.
All right. And Mary?
Follow me everywhere. On social @FrailMary. Hold me to it this week. I will be on Twitch for Among Us. Oh, you just wait. Come back. It's been like 8 weeks, but we're going to do it again. So I'll be there, twitch.tv/FrailMary. And other than that, just, check out everything we got going on Kowski Cast, which is mostly Riverdale. It's very sad. Somehow I've not watched that much reality TV recently, but I'm still getting tweets about Riverdale. So we're almost done. Home stretch.
All right. Well, thank you guys once more for joining us here on the Circle coverage. And, you know, who knows when the next season will be? Maybe it'll be in a month or maybe it'll be in 2 years. I don't even know. How long was the gap between, season one and season two? But we will be back for you at some point in the future, I'm sure. And we will see you then.